Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be together, and I appreciate all the guests we have here this morning. I know we have several, and this morning is kind of an exciting day. Today we're going to be starting our new theme for the year. If you're visiting, what we do here at the church here is every year we pick one theme that we're going to, everything we talk about and do is going to kind of try to relate back to that theme that year. And so this year, a lot of our sermons and our activities are going to be centered around this concept of making a difference. How we can take what God has done for us, and instead of just keeping it with us, we can go out and we can make a difference to somebody else around us. And so we're going to be looking at that in a whole lot of different ways. We're going to be looking at it a lot from the example of how the early church did it. When you read through the book of Acts, and you see how did those first century Christians make a difference in the world, you see they made a huge difference. And that's why we have this background. You may notice, looks like it's all printed all backwards. It's all upside down here. And the reason is, it's based on this verse that in Acts 17, when the apostles came into the city of Thessalonica, the people said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. That the early church made such a difference in the world that it felt like the world had just been absolutely turned upside down. And so the question is, do Christians today make that kind of difference? Sometimes we do, maybe sometimes we don't. And so this year, I think it's going to be a really challenging year that's going to get us back to that kind of focus, where we can, each of us in our lives, is doing things that changes the world around us in a really positive way. If you haven't gotten one of these, on your way out, grab one of these, unless we're out. I can print more if we run out. But this has a bunch of details about our theme, and it has some information about what we're doing this year, and it's got a directory in the back. So grab one of these on your way out if you haven't already got one. This morning, I want to introduce this theme by looking at how did Jesus make a difference. We're going to be talking a lot this year about how the early church made a difference, but the reason the early church made a difference was because they were following Jesus, and he'd already made a much bigger difference. Now, we could analyze this question and think, well, how was it that Jesus made such a huge impact? I mean, you think about all the thousands of people that he reached while he was still on earth, and then, of course, after his death, all the millions of people that have been affected from him since that time. The question is, how did he do that? Well, we might say, well, I mean, he did a lot of miracles. That made a difference. Well, I want to go deeper than that this morning. Or we could say, well, I mean, he's the Son of God, so of course he made a difference. Yeah, but let's go deeper than that. Or we could say, well, he did a lot of teaching. I want to go deeper than that. I want to really look deep down and say, how was it that wherever Jesus went, he just seemed to impact people in all directions? What was it about him? And what I found as I studied more about Jesus and was trying to think this topic through is, in order to understand this, you have to look inside Jesus. You have to look at what was going through his mind. You have to look at his heart and see what were the emotions that he had. And so this morning we're going to look at five emotions that Jesus had when he was on this earth that led him to make a difference. And I think if we can develop these five emotions, we can begin to follow Jesus' example. So the first one, turn over to Luke chapter 7. I'm sorry, not Luke chapter 7, Matthew 14. We're going to go to Luke chapter 7 next. But let's start with Matthew 14. Turn over to Matthew 14, and we're going to start by looking at Jesus' compassion for people. Matthew 14, this is a difficult situation in Jesus' life. I think he went through a lot of difficult situations. But, you know, there's certain times where you just kind of want to be left alone. I don't know if you ever had a situation, maybe you have a situation like that pretty regularly, where you just kind of need some alone time. And I would say this was a situation like that for Jesus. In Matthew 14, it opens up by telling us a story about John the Baptist being beheaded. And John was not only the forerunner to Jesus, the one who proclaimed that Jesus was going to be coming, but he was also a distant relative of Jesus. It seems like from a couple of different passages that we can conclude that. And so it says here in verse 12, it says, "And his disciples came, and they took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus." So just on a human level, think about how Jesus is going to feel hearing about this. I mean, now he's Jesus. He knows kind of what the plan is, knows what's going to happen here. But there's a lot of emotion there. And so here's what it says in verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Now, that's, I think, something we can relate to. If you've lost a family member, what do you want to do? You want to kind of get away from things for a while. Kind of just have some time just to recharge a little bit and deal with this grief and everything. And so that's what Jesus does. He takes a boat. I mean, he's got crowds around him all the time. So what he does, he gets into a boat and he sails across the lake and to the other side where he can get to a totally desolate place where there's no villages around and he can just spend some time there by himself. Maybe pray to God a little bit about it. And here's what happens at the end of that verse. End of verse 13. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. Oh boy. So he gets to the other side of this lake and there's a bunch of people there. He's like, oh no. I just can't get away from this. And here's what he does. I mean, at this point, we could think, well, what's he going to do? He could say, guys, go home. I'm done for the day. It's over. Here's what he does. Verse 14. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Here's the first point I get from this. Jesus had compassion on people, even when it was inconvenient for him. That here's a situation where he really wanted just to be left alone. But instead of taking Jesus alone time, what he does instead is he goes out and he goes and he serves the people and he heals them and he takes care of them. Well, what would motivate you to do that? Compassion. That his compassion put their needs even ahead of his needs. Now, there's a lot of situations. I mean, this is so relevant to us because there's so many situations where, yeah, I want to help people, but man, I have enough to do just helping myself. Like, I'm enough of a mess myself that for me to go help someone else with their mess, I don't have time for that. And I think that's how we feel a lot of times. But for Jesus, what he could do was, although he had plenty of his own needs, he had so much compassion for other people that a lot of times he saw their needs and said, that's more important than what I'm dealing with right now. And he went out of his way, and he went and he helped them. And it was motivated by his compassion for them. Turn over to Luke chapter 7 now. Here's another compassion one. And this one, I think, takes it in another direction that's penetrating and difficult for us sometimes. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Here's Jesus going into a town here. And there's crowds all around him, as there frequently are when he's traveling. He's going in towards this town. It says, verse 11, soon afterward he went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And he drew near to the gate of the town. Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. So here's the situation. Jesus is going to this town, and there's this funeral procession coming out. And Jesus stops everything there, and he notices that there's a widow. She doesn't have a husband, and now she doesn't have any kids. And she's weeping. And Jesus, it says, felt compassion. And he stops everything that he's doing, and he goes out of his way to help this woman. Now here's what jumped out to me on this. He doesn't know her. As far as I can tell, it's not like, oh yeah, she's the lady who is good friends with so-and-so. It doesn't say that. Just he happened to run into this lady, and she's crying, and he stops and thinks, what can I do for her? To me, that's a lot of compassion. It's one thing to feel compassion for somebody who you've known all your life. It's another thing to feel compassion for somebody who you just met today. And you don't know hardly anything about them, but the one thing you do know is there's something you can do to help that person. And that's the way Jesus felt. He realized, here's something I can do to relieve that suffering. And he does it right away. That's what compassion motivated Jesus to do. Okay, so the first one is compassion. Second one that led Jesus to make such a difference in other people's lives is his love. Look over at John 11. Challenge with compassion is a lot of times we think about it and we realize, yeah, I need to have compassion for people, but you know, that person, I just don't care that much about. I mean, I can't change my feelings. I just don't have that much compassion for their situation. And I think the key to developing compassion, taking a step back, is first, I need, if I don't love them, I'm not going to have compassion for them. And with Jesus, you see that he really loved people. And here's a scenario that really points that out. John 11 is, of course, the time when Jesus' friend Lazarus dies. And so Jesus goes there to his family, and there's Mary and Martha there, and he talks to them, and they have a discussion. And then it says, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. So there's our first really big emotion point. When he sees those people weeping, he's moved inside too. And it just really shakes him up. And verse 34, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. So he says, can you take me to the burial site? We'll show it to you. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Verse 36, and the Jews said, see how he loved him. That when Jesus sees how much that they care, that Jesus cares, the way that he's weeping and crying over this, everybody can say, I can see it. Jesus loved this guy. It was obvious to everybody. Now, here's the first thing I see from that. Jesus hurt when other people hurt. When other people had physical challenges, emotional challenges, when people were hurting, Jesus was hurting for them. You know, there's a passage in Romans where Paul tells us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Jesus had that down. When other people were hurting, Jesus was hurting. But here's what's interesting to me, is it wasn't just that he was hurting over their emotional state, over their physical state. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Jesus was also just as concerned, and maybe even more concerned, over their spiritual state. Look with me at Mark chapter 10. Look with me here. He was also very concerned with their spiritual state. And here, I'm sorry, it's not Mark chapter 10. Let's see. Matthew 14. No, I'm sorry, I don't have a passage. I'll just tell it to you. Okay. The passage I was going to go for is a situation where Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he sees it, and they're not following him. And he turns and he weeps. Again, I mean, just like he wept at Lazarus' tomb. He weeps there. And it says he's weeping because they didn't repent. And so what you really see in that situation as well was Jesus was not just hurting because people's physical life wasn't what it needed to be. He was hurting because their spiritual life wasn't what it needed to be. And in this case, he prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem, how because they haven't repented, it's going to fall. There's going to be consequences for the way that they're living their life. And it tore him up inside, and he feels that sorrow over it. All right, next point. Now turn over to Mark chapter 3. Here we are. Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, let's talk about another emotion. And this emotion is not one we usually focus on. Jesus was angry sometimes. Now, we usually think of anger as a very negative kind of emotion. Anger? Wow. That's not something that Jesus would have. And yet, in Mark chapter 3, here's what Jesus gets angry about. Verse 1, again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? And they were silent. So here's the situation. Jesus goes to the synagogue there with all the religious people around and everything, and there's this guy and he's got his hand all withered up. And the religious leaders are watching at that time because they know how Jesus is, that when he's around someone who's hurt, he typically wants to help them out. But they're thinking, this is our chance. He comes in, he heals this guy with his withered hand. It's against our laws for you to work on the Sabbath. Clearly, that's a lot of work to heal a hand. And so they're going to say, we got you, Jesus. You did wrong. And so Jesus looks around and he says, look, let's think about it this way. On the Sabbath, should we be doing good or doing evil? Well, I guess we should be doing good. And it just says they just stare at him. They're just silent. They don't know how to answer that. And then it says, verse 5, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So here's what's so interesting to me, is that he feels anger over this. He looks around at them, and the way that they're relating to this guy, he's angry about it. He gets worked up. And so the way I'm going to caption that is, he's angry over the mistreatment of other people. That when he sees other people not being treated right, his blood boils. So the application for us would be, how worked up do I get over seeing sin around me? Now, what it did for Jesus, when he got really worked up, what he did was he helped people, he taught people. That's what he does there when he gets angry. But it motivated him. It worked him up to see the way that people were mistreating other people. Now, turn over to the more classic one. Turn over to John chapter 2, and let's see really the way that Jesus, what Jesus, maybe the most classic example of Jesus getting angry. John chapter 2. Verse 13, this is when Jesus cleanses the temple. John chapter 2, verse 13, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So here's the situation. Jesus goes to the temple, and he sees all these people turning to a business. That they've turned this religious thing into this business where they're selling stuff and buying stuff and everything. And he gets worked up again. And this time, it's not so much worked up over people mistreating other people. This time, it's mistreatment of God. People who aren't honoring God like they should. And that works him up so much that he takes his whip and he starts driving out all the animals and says, get out of there. And the apostles see it and they remember this scripture that says, zeal for your house will consume me. And they get it. They're seeing he's worked up and that the emotion that's risen there has led to zeal for God. That's what's driving him towards zealously following God, is when he sees these people who don't treat God right. That's an emotion that Jesus had very strongly. And that's an emotion I need to have to motivate me to go out and do God's work as well. When I see that God's not being treated right, God's not being honored like he should be. All right, let's hit the next one. Sorrow. Jesus was often very sorrowful. Turn over this time to Luke 19. Here's the passage I was going to give you. I just got it out of order. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. So there, Jesus goes to the city and he just cries and says, I wish that you'd understood it. I wish you'd repented. And so we see in some situations when he sees people not living right, it really gets him worked up. And other situations where it gets him really, really sad. That he's very concerned for their souls. Okay, let's look at the final one here. The final one, if you're going to think about, when do you see Jesus' emotions the most? I mean, Jesus was a very emotional person. When do you see those emotions the most vividly in all of Jesus' life? Got to be right there at the end. There at the Garden of Gethsemane, there at the crucifixion. You really see his emotions come out. Turn over to John 12, and hear this passage as it's leading up towards that crucifixion. This passage really shows this kind of example. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here's what I get from this one. Jesus was passionate about obeying God. That when it came to following God, he passionately followed God, even when he didn't want to. I mean, here he's saying, what should I say? God saved me from this? It's like, I wish I could. I wish I could say, don't do this. But then he's like, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is why I exist here at this moment, is for this very reason. This is why I came. And so then he turns and he's like, instead, glorify your name. God, that's what I want most, is for your name to be glorified. And so Jesus, you can just see from the depths of his emotion, wants to bring glory to God. And that emotion is so much bigger than any emotion he feels for his own personal needs. He passionately wants to follow God. Okay, let's put this all together. Here's what we've got. We've seen five different ways that Jesus made a difference. Question is, how much am I going to follow that? There's a lot of times in my life where maybe I've kind of consumed with my own stuff, with the stuff I'm doing, and it's really hard to reach out and do other things for other people. What was it that caused Jesus to constantly reach out and help this person and teach that person and make a statement to this other person? What was it that did that? It was that he cared. I think that's the bottom line. It wasn't that Jesus had was just really effective with time management, that he kept a good calendar and knew how to get all the things scheduled in there just right. It wasn't that he was just really good at planning. It was that he had a heart for other people and he had a heart for God. And so here's what we're going to do this year. This year, we're going to develop that kind of a heart. And like I said, I think it's going to be challenging. There's going to be a lot of difficult passages we're going to be looking at. But we're going to look at this from a few different angles. Glenn Powell's put a lot of work into this, and Mike's put work into this as well, working on this. Glenn kind of came up with the initial idea for what this theme should be, and Mike's putting a lot of ideas on to the different activities that we're going to do surrounding it. But what we're going to do is we've got three sections this year. The first section is going to be about making a difference in our relationship to God, because that's where it starts. It begins, before I can make a difference to anybody around me, I've got to have the kind of relationship with God that's going to motivate me to do that. And so we're going to spend a lot of time on how we can develop a stronger relationship with God. Then secondly, we're going to look at how we can make a difference in our relationships within the church. That how can we serve each other more, help each other more, pray for each other more, make a difference in the lives of other people, a lasting difference. And then finally, the big one at the end, the last part of the year, is all going to be about how can we make a difference in the world around us. How can we love people more, help people more, spread the gospel to people more, help them see Christ more? How can we make a lasting, eternal difference in all those people around us? That's the plan for the year. Question for each of us is, do I care? Do I have the kind of heart, the kind of mindset that cares about other people and cares about God? Let's work on that this year. If you're not a Christian, then we invite you to come to Christ. Give yourself to him, be baptized into his blood, have your sins forgiven, and begin living a life that's not about you, it's about all those people around us. Let's make a difference. If you're subject to that invitation, then please come forward while we stand and while we sing.